This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Report. I'm Brennan House. Could it be possible that the experimental mRNA vaccines being injected into millions of Americans are actually a method of tagging and tracing each person who receives them? Well, in our lead story tonight, a doctor and researcher believes she may have found the smoking gun that proves that's exactly what's going on. Dr. Arianna Love, in an appearance on The Stu Peters Show, revealed her findings in the vaccine patents, which she says confirm a team of Spanish researchers. Their findings, well, they show that graphene oxide is in the vaccines. And that study, along with her findings in the patents, suggests a global plan to install wireless nanosensors in every human body. She told Peters, and I quote, "We have now proof that there is graphene oxide, graphene hydroxide, and other graphene variants in these shots. And that comes from, so far, seven scientific research teams and scientists," end quote. Dr. Love says the evidence is in the description of hydrogels in the patents. These hydrogels are made from a graphene oxide and were developed by DARPA in cooperation with Pfizer and Moderna for the delivery of mRNA technology into the body. Quote, "So the hydrogels contain the entire weapon system, which is now being directed against the human population," end quote. Dr. Love said, for more on this explosive interview, let's cut to the footage. Watch this.
So what did you find in this patent?
Well, they're called biochips, and they're in more than one patent. So yeah, they exist. So Dr. Compra is right. They're in the patents.
So a wireless nanosensor exists in this bioweapon shot that's being called a vaccine.
Exactly. And it also contains, they contain graphene oxide, which is, they're made from graphene oxide, which proves that there's, also proves there's, that graphene oxide is listed in the patents. And I'll get more into that in the next interview, but I'm still researching it and documenting it. So we have now proof that there's graphene oxide, graphene hydroxide, and other graphene variants in these shots. And that comes from, so far, seven scientific research teams and scientists, including the University of Almeria, Dr. Pablo Campra's report. Then, and they're using techniques like optical and electron microscopy, dark field spectroscopy, micro-Raman, and chemical analysis, and more, to determine the graphene oxide. So at what point do we say, okay, it's in the shots?
Truly stunning information there from that doctor. In a related story, independent investigative reporter Leo Holman has uncovered evidence that Bill Gates, Dr. Fauci, and the Gavi Vaccine Alliance plan to use mass vaccination programs, such as the one currently underway for COVID-19, to launch a new global ID system. The evidence comes from a five-page white paper published in 2018 by Gavi about a little-known program called Infuse. The Gavi Alliance, flush with $1.16 billion in U.S. taxpayer dollars it received in 2020, is partnering with the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the Gates Foundation, and other globalist organizations to advocate for creating a registered, verifiable digital ID for every child on the planet. This ID will be tied to each child's vaccination status. Gavi's five-page report on Infuse states the following, quote, "Imagine a future in which all children have access to life-saving vaccines, no matter where they live. A future in which they have their own digitally stored health record that cannot be lost or stolen. A future in which, regardless of gender, economic, or social standing, this record allows each child and parents to have access to a bank account, go to school, access services, and ultimately build a prosperous life. This future is possible today with the latest advances in digital technologies that enable more effective ways to register, identify births, and to issue proof of identification and authorization for access to services, end quote. Leo Holman writes that the real purpose behind the historic push to vaccinate the very young, even against diseases like COVID that do not pose a threat to them, is to fold the current generation of children into the blossoming global digital identity system. Gavi describes a global ID system that will include, by its own admission, personally identifiable information about each person's education, health history, financial records, and purchasing activity. Gavi states, quote, in 2018, through Infuse, Gavi is calling for innovations that leverage new technologies to modernize the process of identifying and registering the children who are most in need of life-saving vaccines, end quote. That statement from Gavi falls right in line with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goal number 16.9, which calls for a digitalized legal identity for all people worldwide, including birth registration by the year 2030. The United Nations calls for collecting biometric data on every individual and storing it forever in the cloud. In other news, buried in Joe Biden's Build Back Better infrastructure bill is a federal mandate for automakers to begin installing an automatic kill switch that instantly turns off a vehicle upon determination by a computer that the driver could be impaired. Former Congressman Bob Barr, writing for the Daily Caller, calls the measure, quote, disturbingly short on details, end quote. But for the fact that the proposed device must, quote, passively monitor the performance of a driver of a motor vehicle to accurately identify whether that driver may be impaired, end quote. In classic technocratic style, the mandate requires a computer sensor in every vehicle that constantly monitors your driving habits, with a capability to shut down your vehicle anytime it wants. Quote, this is a privacy disaster in the making. And the fact that the provision made it through the Congress reveals yet again how little its members care about the privacy of their constituents, end quote. The Daily Caller writes. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow. Retailers and shopping channels have canceled myself and MyPillow. During these times, your support has meant everything to us. To thank you all this Christmas, we want to pass the savings directly on to you. At MyPillow, we have hundreds of products, including my new slippers, bathrobes, sleepwear, mattresses, towels, and so much more. These are the best gifts ever for the best prices ever. This Christmas, I want to offer a message of faith and hope. By the time you're done reading my book, you will believe that with God, all things are possible. For a limited time, you can get my book and your choice of one of these seven amazing MyPillows. This bundle is regularly $59.95, now just $9.98 with your promo code. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. Thank you and God bless.
Welcome back to Worldview Report. I'm Brandon House. Former Senator and presidential candidate Bob Dole, a Kansas lawmaker and decorated World War II veteran, died Sunday at the age of 98. Dole, who was diagnosed with lung cancer in February, died in his sleep, according to an announcement from the Elizabeth Dole Foundation. Dole initially supported Jeb Bush in the 2016 GOP presidential primary, but later gave his full support to Donald Trump. As a politician, Dole was a major force in the Republican Party for three decades. Until 2018, Dole held the record as the Senate's longest-serving Republican leader, a post he held for nearly 11 years. In other news, Nevada on Thursday became the first U.S. state to impose a surcharge on workers who have not gotten a COVID-19 vaccine. All but two members of the state's Public Employees Benefit Program Board voted during a meeting to approve a health insurance surcharge of $55 a month on unvaccinated workers. The approved proposal also stipulates a surcharge of $175 a month for workers' spouses, partners, and dependents 18 and older. The surcharge will go into effect on July 1st, 2022, and could be adjusted upward once in place. The surcharges, which, let's face it, amounts to a tax on the unvaccinated, will help offset the cost of COVID-19 testing, said Laura Rich, executive officer of the board. Testing costs through September were estimated at $3.3 million. The board did not analyze the cost of COVID-19 hospitalizations for the proposal because that would have made the surcharge for spouses and dependents, quote, significantly higher, end quote, Rich said. Nevada's Department of Labor last month released guidance saying the surcharges were legal, and Rich compared them to the surcharges on smokers already imposed by many health insurance plans. Has the modern scientific community declared war on God's creation? If a new report from the World Economic Forum is to be believed, most scientists are of the opinion that all living things, plants, animals, and humans alike, are due for a genetic upgrade. The Davos, Switzerland-based organization, has put out a new report calling for an increase in a new type of science termed synthetic biology that calls for redesigning living organisms. The study claims a reset of human biology is imminent and needed because, quote, synthetic biology lies at the intersection of an aging population, climate change, and environmental degradation, end quote. According to the report, the Great Reset being pushed by Davos elites is not and should not be seen as merely a reset of the world economic structure. Riding the wave of new mRNA vaccine research, we should expect to see and hear more about scientists looking to reset humanity's future and the so-called bioeconomy, the report states. The aim is to exploit advances in computerized information technology, using biology information as coded in DNA, so it can be programmed with the goal of redesigning organisms for what the World Economic Forum deems useful purposes. There's no evidence in the report that the idea ever crossed the minds of the folks at the World Economic Forum that tampering with human DNA and genetic coding could potentially lead to disastrous dystopian outcomes like that which the world has never seen. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow. Cancel culture has not only affected myself and MyPillow, but millions of you out there. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you for all of your support. At MyPillow, we not only have pillows, but we have hundreds of products, including my new slippers, bathrobes, sleepwear, and my new beds. We're offering the best gifts ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have this exclusive offer on the standard size MyPillows, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. We also have the queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now only $24.98 with your promo code. And we have the king size, regularly $89.98, now only $29.98 with your promo code. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer.
Welcome back to the Worldview Report. WorldNet Daily is reporting that a major new study found that not a single healthy child in Germany from ages 5 to 18 died of COVID-19 during the first 15 months of the pandemic. Germany, with more than 80 million people, including about 10 million school-aged children and adolescents, is Europe's largest country. The study was spotlighted by former New York Times reporter Alex Berenson, who has written several books on the pandemic. He wrote on his Substack page, quote, "The findings, in a nutshell, if you let your healthy child or teenager receive the mRNA COVID vaccine, you are insane," end quote. The German physician scientist found that only 6 children in that age range with serious pre-existing conditions died of COVID. And serious illness was also extremely rare, with the researchers' findings that the odds that a healthy child age 5 to 11 would require intensive care for COVID were about 1 in 50,000. The researchers reported, quote, "Overall, the SARS-CoV-2 associated burden of a severe disease course or death in children and adolescents is low. This seems particularly the case for 5 to 11-year-old children without comorbidities, end quote. The data came from a registry Germany established in March of 2020 regarding hospitalizations of people under 18 with COVID. Berenson noted that British researchers have posted similar findings, with only 6 healthy children under 18 dying of COVID out of a population of 12 million. Wow. In other news, law enforcement today warned as far back as June that the United States is vulnerable to an attack on our electric grid, which would in effect end life as we know it. That is not an overstatement. Now, the Epoch Times is reporting that China is exploring a surprise EMP attack as a first strike option under Beijing's new Blitzkrieg strategy. According to Sam Kessler, an advisor at North Star Support Group, a multinational risk management firm stated this, quote, "The risk of an EMP attack on the U.S. infrastructure is very high, particularly in this international environment," end quote. Forbes reported last year the EMP Task Force on National and Homeland Security issued a report on Beijing's ability to conduct an EMP attack on the United States. Dr. Pry is the executive director of the task force. And full disclosure, I produce his weekly radio show and his television show, and he's a close personal friend. Dr. Pry has said that China now possesses super EMP weapons. Again, EMP stands for electromagnetic pulse. He says they possess these EMP weapons, and they know how to protect themselves from an EMP attack. And they've gone as far as to develop first strike protocols, despite denials they would do so. On top of that, China has the most active ballistic missile development program in the world, according to the Center for Strategic International Studies, which makes the development involving EMPs even more troublesome. China has used stolen U.S. technology in order to manufacture 3 types of high-tech weapons in order to attack the U.S. electric grid and other key technologies in what would be a Pearl Harbor-style attack, which would be capable of blacking out the entire country, shutting down not only power plants, but disabling transportation, utilities such as water and sewer treatment plants, communication, and much more. Dr. Peter Vincent Pry noted that China has built a network combining satellites, high-speed missiles, and super electromagnetic pulse weapons that could virtually melt down the electric grid of America, disable all communications, and eliminate the ability of our aircraft carrier groups to respond to such an attack. Forbes noted that despite many people believing such weapons are figments of an overactive imagination or concerns that are overblown, the threat is in fact real. Epoch Times noted that an EMP attack centered, for example, over New York City would devastate the entire northeastern United States. Again, backed up by the research of Dr. Peter Pry. Dr. Pry cited a slide from 2018 that showed that a high-altitude EMP blast would eliminate around 75% of the U.S. power generation capacity in the United States. That would cause a cascading effect over many months, which would cause losses of heat, food, and water, and result in a catastrophic loss of life. Quote, EMP weapons offer Russia, China, and the intercontinental ballistic armed rogue states a fast, cheap, and effective means to make most Americans feel immediately the horrors of war, making them attractive to enemies who seek to create pressure on the U.S. leadership to capitulate or negotiate, end quote. This is according to Rick Fisher, a senior fellow at the International Assessment and Strategy Center. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you about my brand new product, My Slippers. What makes my slippers different from those other slippers is my exclusive 4-layer design. The first layer is MyPillow's patented foam, which will help prevent fatigue and offer you incredible support. My second layer is a memory foam that will give you amazing comfort. And layer 3 is my patented impact gel that'll help reduce stress on your feet. And layer 4 is a durable outdoor indoor sole so you can wear my slippers anywhere, anytime.
Go online or call right now to order your very own pair of the new My Slippers. Use the promo code on your screen and save an incredible 40% off your My Slippers order. You can enjoy My Slippers anytime, anywhere.
What I love most about my slippers is that I can wear them all day long and not have to change shoes.
I personally guarantee the first time you put them on, they'll be the most comfortable slippers you'll ever own.
Welcome back to the Worldview Report. For a glimpse of what life will look like if vaccine mandates continue to spread across the globe, we turn our attention to a restaurant in France. A video out of Paris shows mass police officers approaching diners while they eat and demanding they present their digital proof of vaccination. One elderly woman appears somewhat confused by the checks as there is a delay in her showing her personal medical papers. Watch this. We have a recorded interview tonight with constitutional attorney Kurt Olson, updating us on a new U.S. Supreme Court complaint alleging and providing hard evidence of blatant fraud and voter theft in the 2020 presidential election. This complaint contains new allegations that were still unknown in December of 2020, the last time the issue was put before the courts. Kurt Olson describes, and I quote, a plethora of new facts, end quote, that have come out since the courts last looked at this issue in December of 2020. We have the Racine County Sheriff filing criminal charges against election officials, saying the laws were not just broken, they were shattered. You have the Wisconsin Legislative Audit Bureau finding tens of thousands of illegal ballots, and a Michigan court ruled in March of 2021 that the Secretary of State guidance there doing away with signature verification requirements was unlawful. Quote, so you have a host of new facts, new developments, new findings that make this complaint materially different than one that was filed in December of 2020. The last thing that is materially different is the cover-up. There is evidence that in Maricopa County, Arizona, officials destroyed election records, and they destroyed them after a court ruled that the audit there must go forward. There's also evidence of destruction of election evidence in Georgia, end quote. Let's watch a clip from Kurt Olson's recent interview.
What we have presented is a draft model complaint for the state AGs that lays out the case as to why the November 2020 election shouldn't stand. There are four significant differences in this complaint compared to the complaint that was filed by the state of Texas in December of last year. We have new defendants and claims against those defendants. Those new defendants are the United States and then the officers of the United States, the president, the vice president, speaker of the House, the attorney general, and the speaker the president pro tem of the Senate. We have brought claims under Article 4 of the Constitution, the Guarantee Clause, which provides that the United States shall provide for a Republican form of government, which, as alleged in the complaint, a stolen election is not a Republican form of government. And we've also alleged violations of the Take Care Clause, and that's Article 2, and that is simply that these officers have a duty to make ensure that the laws of the United States are faithfully executed. And in this election, they were not. One point to talk about the Article 2 claims, which is the same claim that was asserted last time. It's important to recognize that when you hear in the media that these are, you know, these complaints were baseless claims of election fraud, that's just simply ignoring the claims in the complaint and the actual fact. Because it is a fact that as of October of 2020, there were four Supreme Court justices who wanted to take up a case involving Article II violations, and this in that particular situation was in Pennsylvania, when the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, by fiat, ruled that ballots could be counted after the statutory deadline of November 3rd at 8 p.m., the Supreme Court, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said, no, no, you can keep counting ballots even if they're not postmarked, they're not signed. You can do that through November 6th. At that time, Justice Ginsburg had passed away and the court was had eight justices on it. There was a claim by the Republican Party of Pennsylvania to stay that decision by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Four justices wanted to take that case up. And for the justices to rule on that, they had to believe that the plaintiffs, in that case, the Republican Party of Georgia, would likely succeed on the merits. So this is a long way of saying that the claims under Article II, there are four Supreme Court justices who want to rule on whether these changes to election law by non-legislative actors, such as courts, such as officers, violate Article II of the Constitution.
In our final story this evening, we leave you with shocking footage from a COVID relocation camp in Australia. As you watch it, keep in mind that the U.S. Centers for Disease Control has similar plans on the books and claims to have the legal authority to implement them. They call it shielding approach to fighting infectious diseases. Those claims can be seen here on the website of the CDC. With that in mind, check out this footage from Australia's COVID quarantine camp.
So what's the guy?
So this, I'm going to give you a warning, yeah? It's an official warning that you have to stand about and obey the rules while you get, yeah? And that's, we have to go to the rules again. I don't care.
So am I allowed to go to the laundry?
You're allowed to go to the laundry, but you got to wear a mask, yeah?
Yeah, righto. Yeah.
And you definitely can't go up the fencing route, but you're allowed to go to the laundry, yeah? That's always been the case, yeah?
Right, so if I was sitting just here, which is right near the fence, why are these guys in a cabin that's right near the fence? It makes no sense, does it?
Yeah, but you can't leave your balcony to go to the fence to talk to somebody else. That's what's obvious, yeah?
So if I was on that balcony...
Have to make sense. So there has to be lines everywhere drawn, yeah? And one of the lines is you cannot leave your balcony and you cannot go to someone else. Where it makes no sense or it doesn't seem right to you, that is the line, and that's what the law is there, yeah? And that's how it goes, yeah?
The law.
Well, the CHO direction.
There's a law that says
CHO
that.
CHO direction, yep. There's a CHO direction, yeah? And how the behavior must be done, especially in this area, because it's much more highly infectious and likely to have infected people, yeah?
Highly infectious when all of us people are negative.
So far, the risk is still very high, yeah? While you're here, can we just do that? Otherwise, the next time it's a $5,000 fine. We don't want to do that.
It's a $5,000 fine if what?
If you breach again.
If I walk out onto that path.
Without your mask on, for no reason, other than the rule.
If I cross that yellow line.
Saying that you've broken the rule.
That I've broken the rule, I will be issued with a $5,000 fine.
That's correct.
Right.
Okay. We could even do that now, but we're giving the warning first. Have a chat with you because... It's a big fine. Rather just do the right thing, yeah? Like I said, I'm not here to fight with you.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight with you.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to do the right thing, and unfortunately, it's my job to make sure they do. I don't care the ins and outs. It's got nothing to do with me. I'm just here to make sure the rules.
According to the CDC website, Congress granted authority to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, which then delegated this power to the CDC to establish quarantine and isolation protocols. I think that means internment camps. The CDC also claims it has the right to use state and local police to, quote, enforce, end quote, these protocols. The CDC makes no bones about the nature of its assumed powers when it states, rather bluntly, quote, public health authorities at the federal, state, local, and tribal levels may sometimes seek help from police or other law enforcement officers to enforce a public health order, end quote. Claiming to have these powers and actually using them are, of course, two different things. But if new draconian lockdown measures being rolled out in Australia and Western Europe are any indication, Americans should be on high alert and assume that their own government would not hesitate to use its so-called police powers in new and creative ways. Thanks for watching the Worldview Report. I'm Brandon House. Take care.